Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you so much for making the John Kincaid Show part of your weekly routine. During the non-NFL season, you get 4 hours of the JK Show, and we appreciate you sticking around for as much of it as you can. If your local affiliate cuts away for any reason, make sure that you join us on SiriusXM 206, the radio.com app, CBS Sports app, or try to make sure that you get your local affiliate to keep us on. We appreciate them too. The baseball season, the off season, has sort of lacked drama. But as I told you earlier on in the show, I'm shocked that people don't have theories or actually understand logically why maybe Harper and Machado haven't signed yet. Kyle Glazer covers the sport nationally for Baseball America, and he joins us here on the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Kyle, I'm packing a bag for a week at spring training next week, fly out next Sunday to go down and spend the week with the Braves, so I'm looking forward to spring training. Are you excited about this season, even with a sort of quiet off season?
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of young stars come up last year, Ronald Acuna, Juan Soto, Shohei Ohtani, and there's another wave coming up this year with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Eloy Jimenez, Fernando Tatis. And, you know, even though everyone's talking about Harper Machado, look, Mike Trout is still under contract. Francisco Lindor, obviously, is going to miss probably opening day with a calf injury. He's still around. So there's plenty of stars to go around. We did have some really dramatic baseball really to the final day of last season. And it's a great sport with a lot of great players. There's a lot happening. And I think once games start, that'll help take away from some of the negative attention that's been put on everything this offseason.
All right, which if you had to predict, I said earlier on the show there's two answers to this. Machado and Harper have either not seen the dollar figure they want to sign for, or they are just going to wait to leverage. They haven't found the town that they want to sign on the dotted line for that number four. Is there any other logical explanation about why they haven't signed?
So a lot of people, you know, are talking about, I think people have whispered the word collusion, but reports are Harper had a 10-year, $300 million offer from the Nationals at the beginning of the offseason. Other reports have Machado receiving, you know, offers in that 8-year, $225, $250 million range. I mean, only four players last year made more than $30 million a year. You know, both these guys are reportedly turning down contracts that would make them numbers five and six. So at a certain point, their expectations maybe are a little beyond what's actually reasonable, as much as they're incredibly talented. Anytime you talk about a $30 million a year annual average value, that's a big chunk of a team's payroll every year, especially now with the luxury of the soft cap that is kind of that luxury tax threshold, making teams not wanting to spend a whole lot more beyond that. I think they're going to have to sign, and it's kind of crazy to think that they'll be signing for a $30 million plus annual average value and might be disappointed.
Do you think there will be, if I was to tell you both, the average contract that the two of them will sign in number of years, what would be your guess, and when would be the opt-out if there was one?
I think we'll see both of them sign in that eight to 10 year range. And we've seen some opt outs after three. That's more of a Boris specialty, but you know, whether it's an opt out at three and another opt out at six and the total contract covers, you know, eight or so, I think that's possible. Or even Eric Hosmer was 8 years last year and his opt out was after five. So I think we'll probably see something similar to that.
Are you believing that like right now, when you look at the offseason, like in the National League East, which I think is really looking very, very improved, who do you have as the lead dog right now based on all the moves that have been made? The Braves, a 90-win team last year, and I'm not hearing many people think that they're the lead dog right now.
You know, it's kind of funny because they've added Josh Donaldson. They re-signed Nick Markakis, two good players, especially with what Donaldson showed at the end of last year with Cleveland, that he might be back. But, I mean, the Nationals signing Patrick Corbin, that, you look at that lineup, even losing Bryce Harper, that lineup, that pitching staff is great. I'm kind of inclined to still give it to the Braves just because they are the defending champs. They've got a really good team. You know, what plagued the Nationals last year was not a lack of talent, but some poor management on the part of Davey Martinez, and we'll see if it's fixed. Until he shows it's fixed, I have a hard time picking them.
If the Phillies added Machado or Harper to what they've already got with Real Muto and stuff, would they be able to jump up and take the lead there?
I think they would with Machado. One of the main subplots with them, we saw them do a lot of things to shoot themselves in the foot last year, just in terms of game management, whether it was running through 20-some-odd pitchers to get
through the
first
30
innings, doing some really strange things in terms of pinch running, using Vince Velasquez as a pinch runner and at the end of key games and getting thrown out. We talk so much about, oh, so-and-so signed so-and-so, they're now the favorite. A lot of it comes down to players being put in the best positions to succeed. And I think with the Phillies, the Mets, and the Nationals, all three of those teams have questions about whether management will do that, where the Braves with Brian Snicker, you have some faith that he'll do that. So that's another reason I have the Braves as still the favorite.
And a savvy GM in Alex Anthopoulos, who still can pull.
So.
And I wouldn't be shocked if we see a move out of him coming up here. Kyle, let me ask you, as far as the off-season chatter about rules changes that will be coming maybe in a couple years, or maybe things that they could do potentially this year, speeding up pace of play, all the different suggestions you heard, what would be the ones that would be most favorable to you? Just personally, put on your baseball fan hat. Don't be a member of the media. Just tell me, as a fan of the game, someone who really loves it, what are the that you would like to hear?
I do like limiting the mound visits. They've already limited it to 6. I think knocking it down even further, there is talk that they might knock it down to 5. That would be one that I think is definitely favorable. I'm more on the side of the universal DH than against it, but I think at the end of the day, limiting the mound visits the most is probably the one that would make the biggest difference, just in helping the pace and flow of the game without disrupting too much of it from a traditionalist side.
I absolutely would love to see a lot of these rule changes in. I mean, it's just there needs to be things that speed up the game. It's just that when the average TV viewer on network TV watching these postseasons the last 3 years is 56, that's a problem. I mean, that's a problem. At some point, your TV viewing audience is just going to age out.
Well, one of the things that's funny is people talk about, oh, old school, leave baseball the way it was. Old school baseball, games were over in about 2 hours, 15 minutes. That's old school baseball. The 4-plus-hour games aren't. And I think there's no question that Major League Baseball recognizes that, you know, having average games in the postseason when, you know, that's their signature event, they're going 3.5-4 hours plus, especially with 8 p.m. East Coast start times, that takes away from a lot of your, you know, future potential viewers, and I think they're right to try and address that head on.
If I said to you right now, and if you haven't written about this yet, I'm sorry if I haven't caught it. If I was to say one team that you'd love to go see in spring training that you think could be like a dark horse, great story for 2019, where are you going? Where are you packing your bags for?
You know, it's interesting. I think two dark horses that maybe aren't being talked about enough. One is the Angels, just in the sense that they've added Justin Bour, Jonathan Lucroy, Matt Harvey, Trevor Cahill, a lot of pieces that, you know, they're not cute and sexy, but they can definitely help and they'll fill in some of the holes. And I think they'll make this one of the best teams Mike Trout has played on, just with the, you know, Shohei Ohtani comes back, with at least at the plate. They have some homegrown pitching, Justin Upton. I think this is going to be an interesting year to watch the Angels and seeing how some of these new veterans, as well as some of the exciting kids in their farm system, are coming up to help in the American League. I still think that second American League wildcard spot is wide open. And on the East, on the Florida side of things, I think the Twins are going to be interesting. Go see what Byron Buxton and Miguel Sano look like. I think with the Indians, you know, putting out an outfield that's not very good this year, the Twins have a chance to surprise some people in that division. And I think depending on how some of those guys look, and they have a great farm system as well, you can go see some of their kids. Those are two under-the-radar teams. I'm going to be curious to see how they look this spring.
Would you be shocked if we see some blockbuster trades come down once we find out the Machado Harper, you know, where they end up? Do you think that will create a domino effect that will then have teams making some big trades with some big names involved?
I don't think it'll be trades in which the free dominoes fall. It'll be free agents. At last count, still had more than 50% of all free agents were still unsigned.
That's crazy.
We saw a couple of minor signings last week, but you know, once Machado and Harper sign, okay, now you know whether or not you have the money to go get a Craig Kimbrell or a Dallas Keuchel or a Mike Moustakas. So I think the dominoes will be more free agency than trades.
Kyle, look forward to following your stuff all year long. Great job with Baseball America, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks. I'm happy to come on anytime.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.